Joe Fisher joins us, voice of the Vanderbilt Commodores, for our daily visit. Joe, what's going on?
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Doing well, and I know you're doing the prep work for the Vanderbilt South Florida game tomorrow night over at the Somme Center, and a home game of sorts, but sort of a road game, too, as they step out of Memorial Gym to play a game in Nashville.
Yeah, certainly a little bit different feeling to, you know, bust downtown and go play in a different gym. You know, some of the guys have been in there, some have not, most have not. Playing an opponent that played yesterday, and you know, South Florida is one of those teams that is in a rebuilding mode. We'll talk more about them tomorrow. They lost yesterday at home to Niagara, so they've been struggling a bit. But one element that has factored back in is they do have a familiar name on their roster. Mike Mercer, who left Georgia, is now at South Florida, became eligible this weekend. So he played on Sunday. He will play, of course, Tuesday. And anybody that watched him play and watched him at Georgia realizes he's got some talent. So certainly won't be an easy contest. But it, you're right, it is a little bit different going down there, part of a doubleheader and all the things that go along with it. But certainly looking forward to it. I'm sure the guys are looking forward to it. Having been in the middle of exams and still are, the impact that has on shaking up your whole schedule, getting on the court is sometimes the best thing you can do. I mean, I know, for example, today they're practicing around 9:30. They have to go early because they have exams later in the day. So, you know, really has to shuffle the schedule this week or week and a half of time.
By the way, that was UMass that backed off Kansas, and I knew that because I remember seeing UMass play earlier. Joe, at the Predators game Saturday night, saw Brant Snedeker and David Price walking together down near the locker room, and I mentioned to one of the Preds assistant coaches that's about $100 million in earnings over the next 10 or 15 years.
Yes, I'm surprised they weren't surrounded by protective bodyguards of some kind.
Brant was actually hitting balls on the ice. They gave him a little mat,
yeah.
And he's hitting balls into the crowd. And I'm thinking,
were they practice balls? I assume
they were. Yeah, I don't think they were real balls, but still, it was pretty funny.
You know, it's really, and I think we've talked a little bit about this before, how many of these guys come back on a regular basis. We see David a lot. We've seen Pedro Alvarez quite a bit, Ryan Flaherty. A lot of the baseball guys are back. And, of course, Tim Corbin has provided basically a locker room for those guys to come back and work out during the offseason that is specifically for them. So they take advantage of that. But, you know, Jay Cutler comes back on a pretty regular basis. Brant, whenever he's in town, obviously comes by and visits. And it's great to see, you know, student-athletes have that kind of feeling about the school, that they want to come back and want to continue to be a part of it. And so that is pretty special. And I imagine you'll see those guys around. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if you see a couple of them at the Somme Center Tuesday night.
And, Joe, I saw Pedro Alvarez over there a few weeks ago around the baseball offices. Did he ever get all his situation cleared up as far as the draft and everything with the Pirates?
Yeah, I think what they did, they got his contract squared away. He basically, in a nutshell, filed a grievance against the league, saying that the league illegally negotiated his contract because they forced him to go past the midnight deadline to get an agreement done. I think they only went like 30 minutes or so past the deadline, but they technically went past it. And now Pedro's got an agent that is pretty experienced and pretty good at all this stuff, and they filed the grievance. They won it, basically forced the Pirates to renegotiate a new contract. And the big sticking point in it was his original contract was a minor league contract. This one now is a major league contract, and the differences are guaranteed money and upfront money. They're a lot different. So it turned out to be, although it was a painful year for him, he turned out making quite a bit of money there at the end by being able to renegotiate that deal.
As for football, I assume they'll be back on the practice field at some point this week after exams are all wrapped up?
Back on the 19th is when they're scheduled to come back on the practice field and get in. Now, the interesting thing about this time is school is not in session. So really, they don't have to worry about the 20 hours of, you know, time they can be exposed to coaching. That kind of goes out the window when school is not in session. So it'll be a pretty intensive, although enjoyable time. And I wouldn't be surprised if they actually got on the field a couple of times during the course of a day or two to try to get in as much practice time as possible.
Thought it was interesting. Chris Lowe of ESPN.com did his coaching rankings, had Bobby Johnson fourth.
Oh, I did not see that. I think that's good for Bobby in a number of ways. I think winning that Coach of the Year sharing that Coach of the Year title with established names like a Nick Saban and you know, Houston Nutt with the job he did can only help his visibility. And I think really most coaches know, maybe fans don't realize it as well, but I think most coaches have a great appreciation for what he and his staff have been able to accomplish up to this point. They understand the situation that he works in and under and some of the restrictions he might deal with. So I think he's very much appreciated by coaches. Nice to see him get a little love from the media, too.
And not exactly the Heisman or anything, but Commodore's assistant Jamie Bryant, one of the three finalists for FootballScoop.com's Defensive Backs Coach of the Year.
Yeah.
Up against Wake Forest Tim Billings and Tennessee's Larry Slade.
You know, Jamie is well thought of too. He is a guy that's very active, very animated. You know, very involved coach in all those situations defensively and on special teams. And of course, when you're coaching guys and you've got guys in the back in the secondary like a DJ Moore, Rashard Langford, Myron Lewis, Ryan Hamilton. You know, they can help a coach look even better. So congratulations to Jamie. I think he's probably got a great shot at it.
Hey, Joe, we'll let you roll. Talk to you tomorrow.
And I'll see you coach's show tonight at 6:30, so we'll see you then.